This is Betty Smith, tape 6 of 6, Aphrodite, February 24th and 25th, 1990.
Love, I don't think, has to really call forth one's essential nature. That has to respond. Yes.
There has to also be the spontaneity of a child and the telling not really love.
Yes, has that spontaneity in it. But if one's nature is called forth, that brings the spontaneity, I think. Yeah. Right, now there's do you want to say anything more about, we've talked about this quite a little bit, but there's only one more scene that, and I know some of you do have to go, the one last scene I would like to leave with you is from Psyche and Eros, and because it's the last task that Aphrodite asks of Psyche. This is your psyche, my psyche. This is the soul. This psyche myth is about a soul journey, I feel. And they've been difficult tasks and ordeals as she separated from her lover, wants to win him back, but is in a very solitary journey. If you'll recall, she's gotten the ram's fleece from the golden rams. She's gotten the water from the mouth of the underworld river. What was the third thing she got? The seeds, the first thing, the sorting of the seeds. And this is the last task. She is to go to the underworld to get something of Persephone's beauty. This is a fairly brief dialogue. The pleasures and security of the romance and marriage of Psyche and Eros had been great. How perplexing and punishing it seemed that in the midst of such happiness, Aphrodite should arise with the most difficult task to be performed, task in the plural. Yet Psyche somehow managed to see the three tasks through successfully. Therefore, it is with total disbelief that she now stares at the fourth and final task. She climbs the steps of a tall, narrow tower in a field, and she looks out over the landscape thinking, how can I go down into the stress and frenzy of life again, into the nearly impossible demands upon me? And despair seizes her, and she thinks of leaping from the tower, but the tower itself spoke and persuaded her to use the tower as steps. Go down a step at a time. At the tower said, descend a step at a time, Psyche. It is the only way. She who plunges, I can say no more. So she followed this wise voice and she began to descend the steps of the tower. And as she did so, the tower counseled her and prepared her for this underworld journey. And she was told not to go empty to the underworld, but take two coins in her mouth and two barley cakes in her hands. And with these four tiny provisions, she could make a safe entry and return to Hades' realm. Two barley cakes in the hands and two coins in the mouth. So provisioned, she descends into the underworld gloom. She does take a little bit, no, she doesn't take an outer lamp. She has also in her hand a vial, a little container, to collect some of Persephone's beauty. She comes at last to the palace of Lord Hades. We know that she had to give one coin to the ferryman to take her across, and when she returns, she gives the other coin. And she gave the barley cake to Cerberus, the fierce dog that guards the palace of Hades, both entering and departing. She gives him a barley cake. So now she stands before Persephone, the illustrious daughter of great Demeter, and makes her request trembling. Aphrodite desires a little of your beauty now, dear Persephone, you who are known to be at the heart of the mystery. And Persephone said, I see. And do you, Psyche, desire my beauty too? Oh, yes, yes. I long for that beauty that surpasses all others. For you, it will be difficult and not what you expect, Persephone said. Persephone said. What do you mean to tell me? Unlike ordinary beauty, this beauty of mine can neither be seen nor used for adornment, nor can others readily admire it. You see, it is invisible. And now she took the small box from Psyche's hand, the vial, and filled it and sealed it and handed it back to Psyche. Wide-eyed, Psyche murmured her gratitude and turned to go. And Persephone called after her, remember this, my beauty hath to ripen. Psyche paid the dog Cerberus the remaining barley cake so she might pass unharmed, later the remaining coin to the ferryman so that she might return to earth. And strangely, with every step towards the light of the familiar world, the temptation grew in her to possess a little of the underworld goddess's great beauty. Besides, she thought that Aphrodite would hardly note if just a little bit was missing. And with that, she broke the box's seal and momentarily glimpsed, we're told this in Apuleius, the original writer of the myth, one who wrote it down, that when she opened the box, she glimpsed an empty container. It seemed weightless, but it seemed empty. For surely Persephone's beauty was invisible. Yet a measure of Persephone's presence was released, and at once had the effect of producing a deep sleep in Psyche. How long she would have slept, no one knows. Eros came searching, found her fast asleep, he having recovered from his wound of the drop of oil. Gently he awakened her, showing great delight in her, and then compassion for her long labor, but finally consternation that she might yet fail the final step of the final task. Oh, do not stop now, Psyche, he cried, urging her to go at once to Aphrodite, and he himself resealed the box. And Psyche came to the house of Aphrodite and gave Persephone's beauty to the goddess, and now at last Aphrodite was satisfied. Before Psyche knew what was happening, she was escorted to Olympus, to the presence of the gathered gods, and her divine marriage was celebrated, the marriage of Psyche and Eros. And Aphrodite herself danced at the wedding. So her whole attitude changed. Aphrodite from a dark goddess to back to her dancing quality. Why do you suppose this belongs here at the end of the seminar? It might have been an awful shifting of gears for you to get to psyche and also get right to the end of it. We've always been told that Aphrodite is the great goddess of beauty as well as the goddess of love, a goddess of great beauty. All the goddesses had their beauty. And yet, in this soul journey tale, Aphrodite feels incomplete until the human journey goes to the underworld and brings her back some of this secret beauty, something of Persephone's secret. We'll never know what the profound secret was of the mysteries. There are a lot of well-informed conjectures. We think there was a vision, but here it must, this beauty, I think, is far from merely objective, merely something that everybody will be able to see in the face once you've got it. The very fact that she opens the box and sees nothing, something. So this is a profound kind of, it's a new connection for Aphrodite, and it's a profound connection to the underworld, to death and resurrection place. And the Adonis myth of Aphrodite leads us to the place, leads to the death and resurrection aspect that's important to the most profound love. And then some, after the suffering, some beauty comes back that's unlike anything that's realized on Earth.
I'm struck by the fact that it's a human psyche. What is psyche?
Well, yes, she's mortal.
I'm struck that there's a mortal that Aphrodite has connecting between these two goddesses.
Yeah.
There's something about that, about bringing the divine through the mortal, something
else. Yes. Right. Bringing the divine through the mortal, yes. And you see that in the hero journeys, and it's wonderful to see it here in Psyche's journey. But it does take that, it takes existence itself and the human involvement. No magical gifts simply falling out off of Olympus into our baskets. But
the other place too is that for Aphrodite, she needs it to be connected with a mortal. Like it works with it.
Yes.
Working on both
it
sides.
Does.
She didn't go down and connect with Persephone.
No.
The two goddesses didn't talk. She had this human,
yes,
link, or this mortal link.
Actually, they'd had a little bit of a conflict, Aphrodite and Persephone, over Adonis, because they were both in love with Adonis. So it was decided he would spend certain time in the underworld and certain time on Earth, at least in his immortal phase. But so there is a, they are connected to the profound love. Yeah. Yes.
I think there has to be some connection with the death before you can really connect with one. That's where it's begun, when you think.
Yes, it's a whole, it's a different level. It is an entirely new level. And that's why I think in some of the things we've said that it's important for us to take away the sense that the divine insemination of ourselves is something hidden and you just can't recognize it in a moment. That the love comes in a hidden way, bouncing along like a silly goat, or charging like a bull, or twittering like a bird, or all these ways that the gods come. So there's some to be ready for the, there has to be a kind of attunement to what's going on in the self. Through your dreams, through your experience of yourself through the longings you find, for what you find in your nature, and a kind of an attunement for that to come. And developing that, what kind of ardor did we call it? Patience and some kind of ardor. Yes, it was some special kind of ardor we mentioned that was necessary to attract the gods.
Intense,
maybe it was intense. Intense ardor.
I think. That, I mean, it comes to relate this to an individual for anyone, that what Aphrodite wanted somebody that was in prepare for a different stage of her life. Because when she opened it up, it wasn't anything there, it just had to ripen. As if there was some sort of maturity that was going to occur. And when she got that, then she got another ability to dance. And so the cat came back. And then she was to move into another phase of life with her service.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. Yes. There's when you introduce Persephone at the end of an Aphrodite myth, as the Psyche myth does, and as we've just posted here, it really speaks of affecting the profoundest aspect of the inner world. If Persephone's there, it's the most profound aspect of the inner world. And of the collective unconscious, as well as the personal unconscious. And she too belongs to a process, the cycle, the earth, an earth cycle. So it's, and when she speaks of ripening, we don't know how long that takes. But one is well advised to hear it. When she speaks of ripening. And, yes.
I read some version where she doesn't take the coin when she gets to Cerberus. There's a whole encounter of those
people. They make mounds?
Well, she puts all these flower petals.
That sort of picks, yes, that sort of picks up some of the rites of Adonis, where they do take and float the petals of the flowers throughout her festival of Adonis, the Adonia.
I have one other question, sort of. You mentioned that. Dionysus was the son of Persephone, and that yesterday. And I didn't know that. I thought he was the son of
I'll be glad to talk with you about that afterwards. I'd like to stay just with Aphrodite and Psyche. I mean, Aphrodite and Psyche, and what the meaning of this is now for us. If there's any other comment you have about anything you want to bring in. This is the fourth and final task. Even Eros is outside of the task, I feel, when he comes upon her.
Persephone being around the dead has something to do with bringing memory to love?
Bringing memory?
Yes.
Yes. That's right too. That's part of the underworld. Yes. Yes, it opens up that whole realm of memory and the collective unconscious. It opens up the realm of riches.
So it opens up Aphrodite beyond the beginnings.
Yes, it does.
For love in the moment, that there is this other love.
Yes, right. A much, right. Right, and this is a soul beauty.
Persephone was, in the mysteries, was considered the bringer of great joy,
of happiness. The city of Eleusis, which they call Eleusis today, is the city of the happy arrival. And he who had seen the mysteries, let's say, speaks of the great joy of anybody who has seen the mysteries. And
so I think it's a beauty that certainly is a soul beauty, because it has such a sense of joy and dwelling in it.
Well, if you're connecting it with that, I mean, it's like an experience of itself.
Yes.
Perhaps this is part of it. This is the end of life and the end of life.
Yes, right, right.
Well, I do think all the gods are some aspects of the self, of the greater self. And Persephone is just one of the most profound. Because she was rarely, she was occasionally sculpted, but not very often. You know, aside from Eleusis, she was very rarely sculpted. And also other South Greece shrines of Demeter. But other than that, she was rarely sculpted because she was such a self creature. Right. Well, I wish you well with all of this is more myths than I've ever done in a weekend. Oh yes. More often than not, somebody was asking me about Poesis seminar. We have one long myth that we stay with the entire time, and work with the images of it, especially a weekend seminar. And but knowing that I come for one time and not available again for a long time. No, I couldn't turn any of those myths down. I love it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I enjoyed it very much, and I'm going to take my EO home. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And that is the end of the tape. Copyright CGU Society, Seattle, and the speaker. All rights reserved. No copying, please.